It's really good to see as many of you as there are, and I'm sure you're delighted to see one another. Got a sad announcement to make. Catherine Cromwell, who's been suffering from leukemia, I understand, just found out this morning, succumbed to her illness on Valentine's Day. So those of you who know Catherine, and especially some of our seniors, if you don't know that already, we'll want to get in touch with the family. She had been staying with her daughter. Now, I'd like for us, as we continue our theme for this month, loving Jesus, to go to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. A very familiar passage, but I hope we'll have some things to say that may not be quite so familiar. The Apostle Paul is wrapping up what we call sometimes the practical section, the doctrinal section of his book. Now he turns to the practical and he says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, every word weighs a pound. Then this phrase, by the mercies of God, I urge you by the mercies of God to present your bodies. That's priestly language. To present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing. That's what the word, the Greek word means, well-pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. The NIV, if you have it, translates that. It's not a really good translation, but it gets at the idea, which is your true and proper way of worshiping God as believer priest. And in the process, do not be conformed to this world, to this culture, but be transformed. Transformed how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, you may show forth what the will of God is in all your conduct. The will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect or complete. As far as I know, there's a lot I don't know, excellence in all fields of endeavor starts with, I told you this a couple of Sundays ago, we didn't meet last week, starts with right ways of thinking. Starts right here in the head. Right ways of thinking that mature into good habits that in the end achieve conspicuous and honorable results. Good outcomes, we all know, we've grown up a bit, good outcomes don't just happen. That's true of the Christian life as well. Spiritual excellence, and you know, I've got a book on this whole theme, A Life Worth Dying For. Spiritual excellence starts with mental perspectives that translate into mental habits or external habits that cause certain believers who will get into them to shine brighter than the norm. All of us believers, as another saying goes, but I play on it, we're created equal. But some believers, spiritually speaking, rise above their fellow believers and they become truly great in the eyes of God and in the habit of loving Jesus. And for that purpose, I know a few passages of Scripture that translate into such a short Monday morning compass what loving Jesus comes down to. If one of you were to approach me, I get approached about a lot of things, and say, hey, Pastor, look, I'm a simple person. I don't want a complicated theological discourse on the subject, but can you just lay out for me a simple map of what loving Jesus looks like in the street Monday through Sunday? Well, I would tell you what we told you, our virtual program last Sunday. I'm sorry. I don't know where I am. But I would tell you this. Yeah, there's a way you can't miss. You want to know what loving Jesus really looks like? Well, you'd go out there tomorrow morning. You take what you know to be God's will. And in faith and cheerful obedience, walk in it. You will be loving Jesus. Nothing frothy, nothing sappy, just finding God's way in God's word and gladly, cheerfully, faithfully doing it. That's what loving Jesus is. And man, we don't get that. And that's spelled out in 1 John chapter 5, the passage we went over last week. But there's another way, a different way, but not really different, that I could spell out what loving Jesus translates to on Monday morning. That's what we're going to do today from the passage I just read. You really want to excel? I think most of you do. I certainly do. You really want to excel spiritually, loving Jesus supremely above all else? Tell me what that looks like. So I'm going to dissect this exhortation of the Apostle Paul in Romans 12, 1 through 2, sort of a directional outline. So let's start here. These words are not in the text, but I'm translating the text. Let's learn to start. This is a mental discipline. And Ossie and I practice it regularly. It's just a good practice. We can get to be such whiners. Somewhere I wrote this or said this the other day, I heard some talking head on TV, and I'm clear off script right now, some talking head say, referring to 2020, we all know this is the worst year ever. Are you kidding me? Did that man, it was a man, have you ever read a single page of history? Jack, not even close. Wake up. Did you grow up with a spoon in your mouth and go to the Ivy League? Where have you been living all these years? And so every once in a while, I do what the rest of you do. I think, boy, this is terrible. I mean, we just naturally go there, don't we? And we had during this thing, like many of you, some of you probably had it worse, but Ossie and I had two nights of absolute terror. Pop! Crack! Swish! Somewhere. Was it on top of our house? Where was it? Everything shook. Okay, we'll try to get back to sleep. Crack! Swish! I got to get out of bed and see what's happening. Not a wink of sleep. Two nights. Not a wink. Now I'm really getting whiny. Like I say, some had it worse. Some had things go right, you know, through the roofs and things like that. But my point is, if we don't follow the instructions we've got here, we can become really whiny, grainy people. What Paul is telling us in so many words is ring in every morning with a grateful salute to God's immeasurable mercies. Therefore, oh, that therefore is big. He's looking back on all that God has done for us in Christ. And he's saying, brethren, by the mercies of God. That's not a sentence, that's a phrase. But that phrase is packed full. And he's saying, our lives are undergirded and surrounded by great mercies of God. And let's not forget it. When you get up every morning, you're driving, as Aussie and I are, we're driving in our car. Never get away from that therefore. No matter what is going on, never get away from that therefore, and never forget the great mercies of God. You want to know the difference between grace and mercy? Grace is when God in various ways showers us with blessings that we do not deserve. Mercy, which is the word here, is when God in various ways spares us from burdens we very much deserve. We've got to remember the mercies of God. Were it not for the atoning sacrifice of Christ, we would all be hellbound. Forget the house. We'd be hellbound. Were it not for the atoning sacrifice of Christ and the mercy of God, we would all be, everybody in this room, in this dark world, we would be without hope, we would be without help, we would be without healing, we would be without heading. I can sit there, the lights out, cold, even though I had a little, Aussie and I have a little gas, a fireplace in our bedroom. I could be, my goodness, a lot of bad things. I could be without heading and I could be without healing. But yet I'm in a position, you're in a position where I can sit there in my chair. Yeah, it's cold. I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. And I could say, as I did many times, as I heard pop. I can say, Lord God, please protect this house and our lives. If you didn't know Christ, you couldn't make that prayer. You don't have any access to the throne of grace. Were it not for the atoning sacrifice of Christ for us, the penalty and power of sin would be all over every one of us like bark on a tree, ever before us and enslaving us to our sins at every level. Were it not for the atoning death of Jesus Christ applied to us, all of us would be dead people walking, having but a brief, futile existence on this planet before passing into everlasting destruction and never tasting of eternal life and God's presence and power in our life. You know what that'd be like? That's the life most people are living. That's what the apostle means by therefore, by the mercies of God. Start right there. That's not pious froth. That's not religious filler material. That's something to remember. Get up each day. Start the day by reminding ourselves of the great mercies of God. That's not pious for my wife and I don't mean to set ourselves up as a Virgin Mary. But we do that. We've learned to do that. Learn to do that. Did it this morning. Just run through it. Thank you, Lord, for these things, among others. And by the way, thank you for food. Thank you for the measure of health we have. Thank you for a roof over our head. Thank you for a basically undamaged house. Thank you for reliable transportations. Stable, stable incomes, and most of you sitting in this room have not lost your incomes. In an economy, I say this reverently, only God knows where it's going to go before it's all over. Thank God, by the mercies of God, therefore, by the mercies of God. Yeah, loving Jesus starts right there with that perspective. Secondly, wear your royal dignity with godly pride. That's not in the text. It is. I'm going to show it to you. Mental attitude, mental perspective. Get these perspectives and it makes a lot of difference. He says, brethren, therefore, brethren, family, children of God. What? Children of God. Royal dignity. Wear it with pride. Look, now that's not true of most of us in this South Metro area. But it's true historically of most Christians throughout the world. I tell you, we've lived in a bubble, and that's not good. We don't connect with some of this stuff. That's not good. But historically, Christians have been, and throughout the world still are, poorer than Job's turkey, lower than a snake's belly, treated like dirt, worldwide, brushed off like crumbs from a rich man's table, considered biblical language, like sheep to be slaughtered, exterminated like vermin, historically treated as the scum of the earth, the outhouses of civilization. But God in heaven knows the truth, and that's why you and I are privileged to be called by the Most High God and by His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, you are family. We are the hidden gems of civilization, the lights that God has placed in this dark world. We're the very salt of the earth by God's appointment. We are no less the family of Jesus Christ. Wear that royal dignity with pride. To the eyes of the world, we may appear to be in rags, but in the eyes of God, we're cosmic royalty. Understand who you are. I just popped into mind sometime in the past. I've used this illustration. But there was a day when I was somewhat athletic, and I used to play basketball with the students regularly at the Bible College. And usually in teams, but sometimes one-on-one. The court was near my office. I'd come back, knock on the window, Andy, want to play a little basketball? Yes, I did. So we'd go down to the court, and there was a guy by the name of Ron. And he's a pleasant fellow. He was a big fellow, a lot bigger than I was, about 6'2", not a great athlete. But he was kind of a mellow fellow, likable. So we'd get down there and play a little one-on-one, good exercise for him, good exercise for me. And I was no all-star, but I was better than Ron. And I would take him to the cleaners. And I remember stopping him one day. Physically, I was 6', 190 pounds, probably 240, 6'2". I said, Ron, buddy, stop. Look at us. Look how much bigger you are than I am. And I'm driving around you, running over top, doing all of that. Why do you let me do that? He said, well, Mr. Andrews, he said, that's an interesting story. He said, and I know the brother who of mine had just passed away was just like that. He said, I was smallish when I was growing up. Suddenly, I sprouted up. But he said, I still have that little guy mentality. Physically, I know what I am, but mentally, he said, I'm still that little guy. The trouble with us believers sometimes is that mentally we're still that little guy. We've got to remember who we are. And we are. All starts with a head. We've got to get some pride. Some pride in who we are. Know who we are. It's sad to see people who have a lot going for them, but they don't understand who they are. I had a friend, I've mentioned this previously in some context. He was a colleague of mine teaching back in Denver. He had taken a trip up to Aspen. I'd been up there too at another time with some folks. And Aspen, as you know, is a place for the rich and famous. We were not among them, but it's also a place for the poor. There are two classes of people in Aspen, Colorado. The rich and famous, and the poor and maybe infamous. And there they were. But they all look the same. But David said, I learned how to tell the difference. I said, how's that? He says, well, Jimmy, he said, they all are wearing jeans, except the rich and famous wear them with more confidence. Right. We are Christians. We are the family of God. We are cosmic aristocracy. Understand who we are and wear your jeans with confidence. And when you understand who you are, you kind of want to live up to it. Live up to your standing. Don't degrade or downgrade yourselves. And getting that mentality on helps a lot. I love Jesus. I belong to Him. And I want to honor God. I want to excel spiritually. I want to live up to who I am. That brings us to the next point. And now we're really getting down to it. Be clear. Be mentally clear about your calling on earth. I want to ask, it's all right to answer. They may not hear you on our virtual outlet, but the rest of you can come in later. Kenny, what do you do? What's your work? Kenny's a software engineer. Mike, what do you do? I didn't hear the mask. He's a manager, you know, recreational vehicles, all that kind of thing. Okay. Who else? Billy, what do you do? I knew I was going to get it. Steffi, what do you do?
Accounting.
She's an accountant, and I could go on around the room. And some of you are supposed to do something, but you don't do it. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I should ask your wives to answer. All right, we're having a little fun here, but that's normal. That's totally natural. Marilyn is a nurse, right? Well, that's the way we identify ourselves. All that's in my book, A Life Worth Dying For. We just go around and I'm a CEO of this, or I'm this. I'm a stay-at-home mother, and my pursuit is raising godly children. That's good, too. Now, my point is, right there is where things began to go wrong. I said it starts with the head. Who are we? And sometimes we don't know who we are. We don't understand our calling. Oh, I get it, Jim. I am a Christian engineer. I am a Christian realtor, or I'm a Christian nurse. Well, that's true, but that's wrong. Brother, I've lost you. What did I say when I read that passage? Present your bodies. That language is what? It's priestly. First and foremost in this life, in the eyes of God, you've got a vocation and you've got a calling, and it's not to be an accountant, it's not to be an engineer, it's not to be a medical doctor, it's not to be a nurse, not to be a secretary, it's not even to be a good wife or good husband and all of that. Your first job, my first job, is to be what? A priest. A priest. I don't mean a collared priest. I don't mean a guy in a robe carrying candles, doing chants, and all of that garbage. God appointed us in Christ to dedicate our whole lives to being priests to Him. What's a priest do? A priest offers gifts and sacrifices that are acceptable to God, that are pleasing to Him. That's what He wants of Jim Andrews. That's what He wants of my wife. That's what He wants of my kids. That's what He wants of my grandkids and everybody else who knows Christ. He wants us to be priests. He wants us to get up in the morning, go to bed in the evening, and in between, to make it our business, whatever our front occupation. He wants it to be dedicated to offering up to Him gifts and sacrifices that are pleasing to Him. Now I'll get more specific, but not yet. We've got to know who we are. It's a sad thing in life. I've seen so much of it because I've lived a while. It's kind of like that farmer's ad. We know a few things because we've seen a few things. Yeah, that's good. And so many people run off the rails in life because they don't know who they are. They're gifted. They've got this. They've got that. They're up here. And they're square over here. But bless their hearts, they don't know who they are. And that's the trouble with so much of what is called the church. We don't know who we are. And what we are above all. And it's a blessed thing to see that when people get it and they understand, know how their position, know how far they go, no matter where they live, they understand. Daily, when I get up in the morning, my project above everything else is to be a priest to God, somebody who offers gifts and sacrifices to Him that are acceptable and pleasing in His sight. Job one, and that's loving Jesus. Can you be more specific? Yeah. That's our calling. But present to God, this is what's pleasing to Him daily, the offering that He prescribes. And what is that? I mean, I Pastor, I guess I'm getting a little confused. I go to job, I sell cars. And I mean, I get up in the morning, I drive to this place, to a venue, and my job is to sell cars, and they expect me to sell them. If I don't, I'll lose my job. And to kind of keep at it, and I mean, I've got these goals, I've got these benchmarks I've got to meet, or any other job you have. So I don't quite understand how you marry up these two. I'm about to show you. It's not hard. It really isn't hard. To offer up gifts and sacrifices that are pleasing to God. Well, what is pleasing to God? What does God want you and me to offer up? Pretty clear. Present to God what? Your body. Now, wait a minute. A living and holy sacrifice. Yeah, that's what He wants you to do. Now, I'm going to use a big word here that only specialists tend to use. It's like you and your fields. This is literary specialists and people like that. What we have here in this word body is a figure of speech. It's called synecdoche, S-Y-N-D-O-C-H-E. You use it all the time. Some guy drives up, oh man, he loves cars. All of a sudden he wheels around a corner. He's a friend of yours and you look at it and, gee whiz, $1 million car. You say, man, you have a nice set of wheels. You just use synecdoche. What you meant is, The part for the whole for the part. Wheels stands for the whole car. Or you say to somebody at a meal, special meal, you're invited, you say, ma'am, I tell you something, you sure set a nice table. That's synecdoche. It's the part for the whole. You're saying you really know how to create a lot of great food. So when the apostle says body, he means the whole self. You see, let me try to get it down to brass tacks. It's old Jim here. Well, I really want to honor God. I really ought to do that as a Christian. So, don't let Aussie know I have this $100 bill. I'm going to be generous with God. Can I have a clap from heaven, please? And I'm going to come up and I'm going to give God a tithe of my resources. That's not bad. Do I get a hand? Or I've got a little time. And I'm going to give God a little of my time. A time I could have been golfing. I'm going to honor God a little of my time. Or talent. I'm an artist. And I'm going to go draw God some pictures. And I'm going to dedicate. Have them. You get the picture. Now, that's not all bad, except here's where it goes wrong. That's not offering what? Me. Do you know what my wife wants of me? She doesn't want a tithe of my time. She doesn't want a little bit of my money. She doesn't want me to dedicate a little of my talent. Jimmy, I want you. And that's what goes wrong in a lot of marriages. People don't get, they want you. Well, God wants you. 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 And when he gets that, that's an offering that is pleasing to him. We get so many people, you know, they've got this tithe mentality. And God wants you. And I'll tell you, he doesn't want you as a martyr. Many people think that is the ultimate in serving God. That is the ultimate. Is to make the martyr sacrifice. That I get to stand up against the wall and say, shoot me. Or lay my head on a block and say, cut my head off and I die for Jesus. Do you know that's not it? Do you know the sacrifice that God wants of Jim Andrews and every person who owns the name of Jesus Christ in this church, do you know what it is? It's not to die physically. It's to live all out for Christ. To live every day in self-denial. So you're an engineer. Great. Be a great engineer. But in being an engineer, being an architect, being an attorney, being a doctor, being a housewife, being in all of that, just go out and be a Christian. Live as a Christian and do Christian things. But be all out for Jesus Christ. Be a priest. And the offering God wants from you and me is to take ourselves and lay it on the altar and say, Lord, I belong to you. Whether I'm in this office place or in that place or wherever, or mining for gold, wherever. The goal to God is you. That's a hard concept to get across to people who are used to compartmentalizing their lives. And God doesn't want us compartmentalized. God wants a living sacrifice. We're priests. And every day he wants you. He wants all of you. No reservations. Holding nothing back. I'm yours. Live or die. But if I'm living, I'm going to live for you. Oh, and he adds, holy. In the Old Testament, you recall that sacrifices were required to be without defect. And that was a physical symbol of what? Holiness. God wants me to be holy. He wants Jim Andrews, he wants his wife, he wants you. He wants us to be holy without pollution and without corruption. What good is it for me? I'm a pastor. What good is it for me to come in here and play the role of a pastor? Oh, Lord, I pray for this congregation. I'll lift up my hands, dripping with pollution and corruption and lies and deception. It's a great case of that right now. I could mention a name. I won't. I could mention a lot. What is going on with people? God wants you and me to be holy in our habits, mental and also physical habits. You're a priest. That's what you are. What's he want you to do? To offer gifts and sacrifices that are pleasing to him. What's a gift and sacrifice pleasing to him? What is it? It's you. He just wants you to bring you, all of you, body, mind, and soul, all of you, synecdoche, parts for the whole. Bring all of you and bring it to God and give it to him every day in every way. Now, we don't get there in a second, but that's the mentality. It starts with the mind. We got to grow into that suit, but that's the mentality. He doesn't want you dead. Well, he might. But he wants you living. And if he wants you dead, he'll get around to it. But right now, the big deal is a living sacrifice. God's not wanting to kill off all his people on earth. What we most need is people who live for Christ daily, wherever they are, whatever they do, whatever their occupation, in the home, out of the home, to live for him. But he needs that sacrifice to be holy, separate from wickedness, corruption, and pollution, separated to God. Well, where does that begin, this holiness enterprise? Oh, it's pretty simple. He says, starts, again, the mind and good habits. Be not conformed to this world. We've got a culture out there that is just willing. It's trying. It's doing everything. It's aggressive. It's all out. It's war. Satan is making it. And he wants to grab Kenny. And he wants to crunch him into its mold. We've got kids growing up. And the world wants to crunch you into its mold. And it takes some resistance. It takes a mentality that says, I will not be formed, fashioned after this culture. It takes a mind, it takes some strength, the strength of God, to stand up and say, I will not be one of you. I will not go your way by the grace of God. I will not look like that. I will not think like that. I will not be pressed into the mold of political correctness. I will not. Here I stand. God, help me. Holiness starts there. And then that brings about transformation, renewal of the mind, a mind like Christ. You start there. You start there by saying no. Now, Jim Andrews can say no all he wants to, but I do not have the strength of reserves in and of myself. I do not have the set of jaw to bring that about. Only the Spirit of God can help, but it's got to start there. I will not. And then we say yes to the renewal of our minds. Yes. And the Spirit of God goes to work. But people never get to transformation who don't first start with denial of conformity. But see, we don't get our heads on right. But it's got to start there. I will not be that kind. By the grace of God, I will be this kind. And in becoming that kind, I will prove what the will of God is. Let me give you a little idea. I'm looking at the clock, running my mouth a little too fast, and I'm never at my best when I start talking over top myself. But let me try to finish this. Let me show you how that works. Don't we know what the will of God is? We've got the Word of God. Well, sometimes we don't. We live in a confusing culture. It's confusing for all of us. I call it disorienting. And definitions are changing. And it kind of wobbles the mind at times. And what is the will of God? And then you hear people who profess to be Christians rise up and say the stupidest things. Well, no, this is what, oh, it's not the... Listen, you go find me a set of people who've resolved to be priests of God, to give themselves fully to Christ. They're not going to be perfect. None of us ever are. But that's their resolution before God, the Spirit of God helping them. They're going to present to God gifts and offerings that are pleasing to Him. That's what they're going to do. And they know that means me. It's just real simple, Lord. Loving Jesus means giving you me. He gave himself for me. Now I'm going to give myself back as a whole burnt offering. But I'm going to give myself back living and holy. And it's going to start with, I refuse to be conformed to this world. I will step in it. I'm not that good. And doing that, it'll start changing and renewing my mind. I'm getting there at the point. And my mind will gradually be renewed with the mind of Christ. More and more I'll come to think like Christ. Well, you give me a community of people who are doing that. And now come into this community. And you want to know where God is. You want to know where the Spirit of God is. You want to know what's right and what's wrong. Well, it won't be perfect. But it's amazing how much they'll be of one mind. For example, like the sexual anarchy. You'll walk into that community and there will be no longer any ambiguity about gender. They will know. And a lot of other things that I don't dare get off into at this juncture and with that clock. They know. It may not be written down in the Word of God, but they know where the Spirit of God is. And they will prove to you what the will of God is. There will just be kind of a unified stance on that sort of thing. What is right and good and acceptable in the sight of God. When you get a community of people that are of one mind. That's how we love Jesus. That's another way of putting it. Be a priest. Give yourself living and whole. Don't be conformed to this world. Be renewed. Be transformed. You will be renewed when you decide, I will not be conformed. But so often we don't get to that point. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the clear directions of your word. Lord, we do our best to explain them, illustrate them, apply them. We pray the Spirit of God would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to obey. We pray that you will give us the spirit of true and godly priest as we walk before you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.